Hey, babe, it's AC here, Archie. We met last night at number 32. Just reaching out, trying to connect, and seeing whether you fancy some drinky poos this Thursday. My diary's looking pretty free. Hopefully, you remember me. I was the guy wearing the British Lions rugby shorts. No, not the other guy. That was my mate Mungo, which is completely hilarious. We're not brothers, by the way, but... I was wearing the 1997 ones. He was wearing 2001. There was quite a stark difference, but I know it's quite confusing because I can remember you weren't too much into your ruggers. But I was the one with the bigger calf muscles, so hopefully you remember me and we can get our drinks on this Thursday. By the way, I'm just about to head to the Cobbin and practice some chipping, so if you want to come along and, you know, have some banter, let me know. Okay. Ciao.
More lust, more lust, more lust, more lust. More lust, more lust. More lust, more lust, more lust, more lust. More lust, more lust. More lust.
Come and get lust with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 96, unbelievably, of the Rugbiz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and of course, still alongside me after all this time is Mr. Archie Curzon. How are you, sir?
Still here, mate. I'm not going anywhere.
Not
anytime soon.
Okay. How are you doing? You good?
Mate, I'm very well.
Yeah?
I'm very well. Can't believe we're on 96 episodes. Only four more to get to 100, and we can raise our bat for all the unbelievable chat.
Thank the crowd
that
for watching this thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, you're a bit of a rapper.
That is actually really good chat in itself.
Okay.
Raise the bat for the chat.
Right, well, I'll note that one down.
We should hashtag that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe put
Let's
it on Twitter.
Definitely hashtag that.
Well, we're doing something.
Mate, can you write that down?
Yeah, sure. But we are doing something quite good for the 100th ep, aren't we?
Yes, we've got something in the pipeline, something to announce in the coming days, which will be very exciting. It's a big thank you, really, to all the listeners.
It's a nice little present, isn't it? Another treat from us.
Yes.
You're welcome once more for the thousandth time.
Yes, you are welcome.
Well, talking about being welcome, were you welcomed into a lovely weekend? Did you enjoy yourself? Did you immerse yourself in the sunshine?
A dreamy, dreamy, dreamy weekend.
Feels like ages ago now the weather's changed.
I know, but mate, I've got to say, this weekend I truly felt blessed to be living in Clapham.
Okay, why?
Just had the most magical picnic with the boys. We had about four or five rotisserie chickens, a bucket load of cottage cheese and beers, and we just got stuck in. And when the weather's like that, Cloders, Clapham Common is like a nightclub. And we are right in the middle of the common. That's the equivalent of having the best table in the house. And we obviously had like a rugby ball with us, and we like played like joke touch. Like four aside. It was like jokes.
Okay.
Like we were just like messing around.
Just showing off to everyone.
Everyone knew, like all eyes were on us. And we were like, you know, just not playing properly. Because if we did switch it on, it'd be like unbelievable. We were just like messing around, throwing it behind our back, doing like little grubbers. And I think everyone on there just knew we were like much more superior than them.
Well,
and they all knew, like we all had reasonably good banter, because like when someone dropped the ball, an accident, we were all like, oh,
what was that, the banter?
And we were like, you know, like flicking our hands and stuff, and they were like, oh, you're such a doofus,
right? Okay.
And then everyone was like, oh, actually, like those guys look like a lot of fun.
So you spent the day showing up, playing touch, and then anything else?
In the evening, just chucked on. I was obviously in my rugby shorts in the common, just topless, rig out, getting the tan on, and then in the sort of late afternoon, chucked on my basketball top, which, by the way, is such good.
Is that a good look nowadays?
Yeah, yeah. It's a anyone out there is looking for like the ultimate summer look, definitely chuck on a basketball top. So money. And just headed to number 32. And yeah, just had a few more ales with the boys, which is, yeah, just C.H.A.T chat when the words like that. Number 32, we're on the roof and we're just talking to a few cheekies. You know how it is, mate. You know how us Clapham boys do.
You say you know how it is, but do you actually know how it is? Because,
mate, I know what time it is.
Really?
I've got a lot of numbers.
So you're doing a lot of talk. You've got some numbers?
Yeah, but how
come these numbers never actually convert into anything decent? You never go on a date. I am
working on it at the moment, Freddie. I've actually installed at home a new CRM system. So what I do is I input all the data of all the girls I meet, and I make a note just to call them every 2 weeks, and that then filters in the pipeline, turns into dates, hopefully then converts into third dates, and then I seal the deal.
So I've got
quite a lot of pipeline at the moment. I'm just filtering them in. So in the coming weeks, going to be having a lot of success. Just hope I've got the energy.
So Archie, it was meant to be your week for you to bring on a guest, but yeah. I heard nothing from you, so I decided to take it.
Being busy, mate.
Yeah, okay, fair
trying
play.
To get back to building that CRM system.
So I decided to, you know, take it under my own devices to get someone, and I've got a very, very big guest on the pod. Though.
Close. I've got to say, your booking guest at the moment is quite phenomenal.
I know. I should become an agent.
Yeah. Well, you should think about doing something after this finishes.
Yeah.
And that could be your calling.
Well, anyway,
be a booking agent.
I could be. Anyway, yeah. I've got a WASP legend.
Or you could. I mean, you could come work for me and just book in all my lunches.
Okay. I'll think about that. I've got a WASP legend, an England legend, a Lions legend.
Oh,
any
no!
guesses?
Haskell's coming back on to talk about his baby.
No,
how
it's
much
not
money
Haskell.
Did he want?
No, it's not.
Know,
sorry,
it's
Haskell.
Not, oh.
That would have been good. It's a man who's also played in the NFL. It's Christian Wade.
No
Wadey.
Way.
They said he couldn't come on. He wasn't interested in podcasts, but we've got him here today, ready to come on, all the way from America.
Oh, my God. That, Clodas,
yeah.
That is bloody good.
Thank you.
C.H.A.T. chat. There's only one way to start the interview.
Go on.
American football-wise. Put your hands in.
Yeah.
On three, say chat.
One, two, three, chat.
Yo, what's happening, boys?
Here he is.
Wadey, welcome. Your camera doesn't work. It would be great to see you, Chesse.
Beautiful.
I'm here, lads.
Wadey, I was just saying, I can't imagine anything better than being up in early hours of the morning doing a podcast with two strangers. That's pretty much what I do in the business world.
I'm loving that pink microphone, by the way.
Mate, thank you very much. You do get some good compliments on it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's properly give you an introduction because we are joined by the legendary Wasps, England, Lions, Buffalo Bills. Oh my God, the guy's a genius, Christian Wade. Wadey, we saw you the end of last season with your dad, who's a strapping young man as well, walking around the Wasps training ground. Archie was trying to get a contract at Wasps.
Yeah. I don't know. They offered me a contract. I don't know about Wadey.
Well,
Kev did offer me a contract at the end.
You became great mates with Kevin.
Yeah.
We saw Wadey having lunch with Kevin, a beautiful curry made by the chef there. Were you impressed by the training ground? And come on, just give us a bit of just flirt with us. Are you rejoining the Premiership? Are you joining Wasps?
So, yeah, basically, I was at the training ground, really impressed with the training ground, and I'm really impressed with what they're able to put up, although it is only still 75% of what they promised us back then. But in terms of like joining the Premiership and Wasps, Wasps was a team that obviously is looking to get me back over there, as you would imagine, and I would love to go back to Wasps, but in the current kind of climate with salary cap issues and Saracens kind of scaring all the other teams around, even getting close to the salary cap. And furthermore, me coming back or announcing that I have interest in rugby again, is kind of all bad timing. So, I'm really just waiting to see what, offers are realistic, what people are trying to, see what people are trying to do in terms of getting me back to their teams and whatnot.
Wadey, I don't know how much you've ever listened to the Rigpiz podcast, third biggest rugby podcast globally. We had Dan Norton on a couple of weeks ago, and we had a theory about who you might be joining. Now, my theory is that, you're a high net worth individual. You're coming back for some serious coinage. You're looking for, a 3/4 bed house, central London, prime location. So my theory was it was going to be either London Irish because, and also your name. So you want to go to a team, you're going to be the star player. So it was either London Irish or Worcester because I just thought no one knows any of the players in those teams. And they probably got a bit of money on the side.
They need a marquee signing.
Yeah, marquee signing.
To be honest, Worcester's not come knocking. Irish is definitely a team that I would be interested in. As in London, like you said. And yeah, there's a few different teams as well from other parts of the world. So, we're really just kind of taking our time, bro.
Well, Wadey, come on. Let's talk about your career because merely at the age of 27... third time all-time Prem top try scorer. You have enough and you decide to go pursue a incredible career in the NFL. Now, Dan Norton mentioned that he was also flirting with joining the NFL. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But what was the decision behind leaving the Prem and going to play American football?
For me, the whole moving over to the NFL stuff was, it's kind of like a burning desire that was there anyway. Because, who wouldn't want to play in probably the most elite kind of league in the world with, some of the best athletes in the world. So that's kind of like a burning desire underneath wouldn't it be cool to play in the NFL? And then probably around about 2015, you know, I actually had some interest from the NFL and, you know, wanted me to come over there and stuff. And I was taking a serious look at it. But at the same time, it was, you know, it was a World Cup year in London, which, you know, since the age of, I'm trying to remember, we were under 18, so probably 09, those sort of times, that's when we kind of found out that the World Cup was going to be in London or England. So as a youngster, I'm like, shit, I'm trying to play in the World Cup. So I had that kind of dilemma going on 2015. However, rugby came out on top, but it didn't come out on top for me, unfortunately, because I didn't get picked for the squad, which, you know, we know the story behind that, or maybe we don't. And really, over the next few years after that, because that hit me quite hard, you know, not getting selected for the World Cup squad, for me, you know, this didn't make any sense. You know, like you said, I'm top try scorer most years, at least top two, top three, you know, killing all the records, breaking records, doing this, that and the other. And, you know, that really hit me quite hard. So essentially, we got to 2018 and, you know, I was looking for a new challenge. You know, for me, I reached the pinnacle of my rugby career. I only had the one cap for England and one Lions tour, but that was the best you was going to get because I can only control what I can do, right? So yeah, essentially, yeah, that's how the decision came about. You know, I got to a point where I was just like, I've reached the pinnacle. There's nothing more for me to prove. And I've still got more in the tank, but I'm not going to get it from rugby. So NFL, let's see what I can do over there.
It's quite incredible you got overseen for that England squad, Wadey, because, you know, for me, you possess the three C's. You got a phenomenal chassis. You know, you got unbelievably good chat. And you've got a lot of coin. And those are three things you need to succeed in the city, but also in rugby. And if only you'd been picked for, you know, the England team, it could have been a different story.
Yeah, yeah.
What a disaster that World Cup was. It's quite lucky you weren't involved.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you look back now and you're kind of like me along with other players who probably got overlooked. And, you know, it's not even more of a, like, see, you should have picked us. It's more of a, you know, it's a shame because, you know, England is England rugby is huge. And, you know, unfortunately, we kind of do ourselves a disjustice at the top by, you know, making silly decisions. That's how I see it, really. And at the end of the day, once we start, you know, taking the sport more serious, trying to pick people to win stuff and, you know, actually help to grow the game, then that's when we'll see more progress. But unfortunately, until that happens, we're just going to be, you know, mediocre team. We got money and we'll get results here and there.
Wadey, if you do come back to rugby, is the mindset that you want to play for England again?
Nah, I made that clear back in 2016, I think. Or if I didn't, I'll do it again. Nah, I'm not trying to play for England ever. I don't really have any interest in it.
Wadey, let's clear up 2015 quickly because you scored a hat-trick against the Barbarians. You were the all-time top scorer in the league for the previous 3 years running. What were the conversations you had with the England team after that incredible performance? Because everyone in their right mind was saying, get this guy in the squad.
Silence, mate.
Silence.
Literally silence. You know, after the game, I vividly remember Mike Catt at the time came up to me after the game and said, you know, really well done. You know, he realised that I've had a tough few years with, you know, getting my first cap and then being injured when my career from in the England standpoint was kind of on the up. And, you know, I did my foot, I was out for a whole season and kind of worked my way back to 2015 where I was back on top again. And, you know, he was the only one that kind of gave me a pat on the back, said, well done, good game and stuff. And, you know, from there, it was just silence. Then the next thing I heard was I had a phone call from Stuart Lancaster. But at that point, I wasn't really engaged, so to speak. And I knew that I wasn't going to get the call to be on the squad because, you know, the squad was about to be announced. I hadn't heard anything. And after that performance, if I'm going to be in the team, I would know about it, right? So I actually didn't pick up the call. I just aired the call. I was with my girlfriend at the time and just chilling, enjoying my holidays. And then once the call ended, I saw the voicemail, listened to it, and that was it. That was the last thing that was the last time like I was ever like engaged with England or had aspirations to play for England.
That's so sad. It's quite sad that something like that happens.
Wadey, obviously you then go to play, you know, NFL, and you have to go through the international player program where you actually learn a whole new sport over a year or so. Obviously everyone on that is trying to become a professional player. So how competitive is it? How bitchy is it? Did it get messy?
Yeah, it was a sick time, bro. 16 weeks, IMG Academy, sports heaven for high school students and beyond. Crazy, bro. They got literally everything you can think of. And to be honest, myself and Vals and Valentine Holmes, you know, it was quite a unique year because we were actual professionals coming into the program. You know, we already know what it's like to be a professional, how to train, what to eat, you know, all those little things in between. Whereas everybody else is more like playing in the GFL or, you know, amateur sports. So we were really like the leaders of the group, you know, to help everybody else. And then also compete to try and get those spots. So yeah, there wasn't really any like bitching, but more of a family type of vibe. And that's really what I've seen with the Player Pathway program. You know, it's more of a family thing because we're really trying to all get to one goal, but we can't do that necessarily on our own. We have to lean on each other to do that.
Wadey, how much pressure did you put on yourself? Because in a way, it's like being with, you know, rugby is like being with a stable girlfriend who's there every night cooking for you. You know, once a week you get, you know, your joy. She's there talking, but then all of a sudden an exciting chica comes into your life. She's a Latino dancer. She likes to go clubbing. She likes to party. She's wild. And then you decide to go with the exciting chica, but you've left the stability of your, you know, what could be your wife and give you three beautiful children. Now you've gone to this sort of sexy chica who's going to sort of deliver you the high life. Was there much pressure?
I love the analogies, by the way. Spot on. It was, yeah, it's definitely very uncomfortable. It still is. But for me as an athlete, that's kind of where I live all the time. You know, it's a lifestyle that, you know, I live, you know, trying to just get the best out of myself all the time. Every day is competition. You know, I remember the first like week I was there, you know, they were having trials and I was just like, why are they having trials? They call them, they call it a workout. So guys are coming in on the days off every single week. You got like 8 to 10 guys coming in doing workouts to try and get in the team. We're like, well, we just picked the team. It's like, yeah, but, you know, they're always looking for the next guy who can do your job and they can pay them less money. So at the end of the day, you know, I came into the top flight environment, you know, the elite of the elite where, you know, you're trying to keep your job every day. So, you know, there's no other way around it but to just be grinding.
And that's probably, you know, Wadey, we have quite a lot of younger listeners, guys at school, you know, looking to go and go for an adventure. And I guess the moral of that story is, you know, guys, if you're at school and you're 18, you've got a girlfriend, bin her off,
yeah,
and go and get an exciting chica. Yeah. Go and live your life. You can always have a girlfriend later in your life, but go and explore yourself and the world.
Well, we're talking about beautiful chicas. Wadey, your wife, Lisa Ramos, is a stunning ex-America's Next Top Model contestant. So please take us through how you guys met and how you managed to charm her enough to make her your wife.
Well, I mean, I think you were talking about the three C's, and one of those was great chat, right?
Yeah.
So that's obviously one of the ways that you're able to get the, you know, the missus on board. 2016, you know, we met while I was in LA. She was living over there at the time. And I was over there visiting one of my friends who's a drummer, Dexter Hercules. You know, I don't know if you guys are into music, but
Freddie's big into music.
Wait,
we will stop you and just say we've had a top 10 hit here in the UK at Christmas time.
Yeah, we have.
Myself and Freddie. So we are musicians.
Yeah, we're pretty big in music. Yeah.
Yeah. 61,000 followers on Instagram. Okay. Chicas are DMing me all the time.
Wow.
It is moist in
love
there,
it.
Okay. Don't you worry, Wadey. We know our music. Well, Freddie knows his music. Carry on, Wadey. Carry on.
Me and my friend, we was visiting a friend in LA who's a producer, and that's where I met my wife, or, you know, at the time she was just a friend. And really when I left, we just stayed in contact. You know, it wasn't anything serious. You know, we had just met through friends, stayed in contact, and then I spent probably the best part of a year trying to woo her to come over to England so that you know, I could basically seal the deal because I knew, of course, if she comes to London 2 weeks, I'm going to have it in the bag. And sure enough, I eventually got her after a year of, you know, saying, why don't you come over? Like, it'll be fun. I'll take you here. We can do this, blah, blah, blah. And she came. It was 2 weeks, turned into 4 weeks. And then as soon as she left, we kind of made it official. And then the rest is history, mate.
That is incredible.
Wait, your WhatsApp banter must be unreal. You must have the chat to be continuously WhatsApping someone for a year. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It reminds me of my LinkedIn banter. I do a lot of dating on LinkedIn. That's how I find the ladies.
That's crazy. Now it was a lot of WhatsApp banter, but not as much WhatsApp because in America people don't really use WhatsApp. It's all iMessage when
more
you show
FaceTiming.
Them WhatsApp. So I was doing a lot more FaceTiming and
I bet you were.
You know, iMessage.
I bet you were.
Sometimes, Wadey, I was going to say, sometimes, an attractive lady comes into my DMs, I'll just send her, I'm normally topless at home. I like to be naked at home. It's better for exercise. I like just to send them a photo of just my ab region, you know? These bits here.
The cum gutters.
Brad Shields called them the cum gutters, but, you know, I like to show them that, and then that normally seals the deal.
Madness.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Freddie Cloud speaking. You may be experiencing some turbulence throughout this podcast, but please sit back, tighten your seatbelts and enjoy. And when you flick through the Implant magazine, don't forget that you can go to the Rex Club website and buy yourself a whole variety of Clap and Felt merchandise. When the sun resurfaces for the rest of the summer, even in the autumnal and winter months, you'll look incredible with different Clap and Felt stash all over your head. The chicas love it, so the chassis. Go to the Reds Club website or the link in this bio.
Wadey, let's quickly touch on the highlight of your
NFL
time.
Back to the serious side.
Well, when you scored the most incredible 65-yard touchdown in your debut, at that point in time, and I know you had a bad injury, but you surely were thinking, Jesus Christ, this sport's pretty easy. I'm going to be in this team week in, week out. I'm going to be the biggest name in the NFL.
And also, that was big news over here. Like, that was absolutely everywhere. Like, I think people thought that was it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, the NFL gave me this stat was, you know, it truly went viral. It was like a billion like impressions like worldwide, which was nuts. As soon as I got the ball, well, even before I got the ball, you know, I was on the sideline speaking with Frank Gore, you know, future Hall of Famer, you know, giving me some tips and stuff. At the end of the day, he just said, listen, you know, you can play this game, you're an athlete, you know, I've seen you play rugby, you know, just go out there, play rugby when you get the ball. It's the same stuff. And essentially, I saw the play. They switched their front, so I knew exactly where I was going. So as soon as the ball came, I probably couldn't even hold the excitement because I was just like, I'm about to, you know, break a big one. I didn't think I was going to score, but, you know, as soon as I got the ball and cut it back, I was out of there because I know if I'm gone, no one's catching me. And, you know, I got past got into the end zone. I was jumping around like, trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do next, you know. Then the guy said to come over was like, oh, like you're supposed to get off, because obviously I'm used to running back to halfway and then getting ready for, you know, the kickoff and stuff.
Wadey, talking characters, you got to train under the legendary Sean Edwards, who's apparently a terrifying man. Just tell us, because we've had some previous guests come on here and say he got involved in contact training. He, you know, would throw a punch.
He headbutted someone once.
He headbutted someone. Like, what was the craziest thing you ever saw him do?
My memories of Sean is, you know, charcoal grey suit, a short sleeve, like, T-shirt, kind of like this, collarless, with, you know, the legendary black and white Pumas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
With the fold-down tongue.
Yeah.
He would wear those with his suit, so that's kind of, you know,
that's
Sean, you know what I mean, wearing a charcoal grey suit with his Pumas, mate.
It's a niche look. One of my dreams is to take Sean out in Clapham, because I don't know how much you know. Like, I'm the CEO of Clapham. I've lived here for 15 years. You know, if you ever want to get into Inferno, just let me know. But what I'd love to do with Sean is just take him out in Clapham, put him in a nice tight V-neck white T-shirt, some tight chinos, no socks, and then just some, you know, clean white shoes, and maybe give him a bit of a tan, and then make sure his necklace is on the outside of his T-shirt. And I think he would do pretty well.
Would he do well in there?
Yeah, because he's got the rugby banter, and they fucking love the rugby banter in Infernos, trust me.
Okay.
I sometimes walk around that with that kind of kit with just like a pint in my hand, and I just tell girls like I play semi-professional rugby, and they just melt.
Do they?
And yeah, because I'll be like, and yeah, I'll just show them stuff like, you know, who follows me on Instagram. They'll be like, oh, no way.
Does Wadey follow you?
Wait, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
He'll be coming in.
Unfortunately, I don't control my account.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm getting to that stage, actually. I'm getting that big. I'm going to have to get someone. As long as they don't live in Putney, I don't mind. And they play hockey. Right, carry on.
Wadey, talking, you know, rugby boys, just, you know, characteristics. Obviously, you spent a year playing rugby sevens. Dan said that he used to make everyone do a bog wash initiation. Do you remember having to take part in that for your first cap?
Nah, see, I'd have to be honest, lads. When it comes to, like, all the rugby initiations and stuff, I've never been involved in that stuff, bro. You know, even from the start, the you know, the older guys or the veterans would be like, "Oh, you got to do this." I'd be like, "Nah, I'm not doing that. I'm one of those guys." You know what I mean? I'm not doing any of that weird stuff. You know what I mean? The extra curriculum. I don't have to do anything. You know what I mean?
No.
I'm one of the lads, like, I would drink and, you know, do that stuff. But
you
all the extra stuff, I've never been involved.
You're like, a bit like Archie, really.
Yeah, I'm not.
I choose to take part in the initiations. I mean, my favourite one is the bum funnel, which you talked a lot about on this podcast, is where someone squats over someone and lets the Guinness go through their bum crack. And it's great fun. I do it every year with the freshers. Well, it is, again, great rugby banter.
Well, Wadey, you obviously made your debut for England in Argentina. And then just before you're about to get your second cap, you get a call from Warren Gatland saying, get over to Australia. We need you in the Lions team, which must have been just incredible. But just tell us, you know, we saw how incredible you were on the pitch in that game in the midweek. But just tell us, how much fun was it off the pitch? You know, you say you don't get involved in initiations, but did you drink? Did you get pissed with the lads?
Yeah, bro. Like I said, I don't get in. I'll be at team socials and all that stuff. But when it gets to the weird stuff, from my point of view, you know, guys already know just to miss me with that. You know what I mean? But if we're drinking or whatever, I'm there. No dirty pints, any of that stuff, though. I'm not trying to be throwing up, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just keep it straight down the line. Like I said, I got the chat, the banter. I'm usually the life of the party, just so you know. But I just won't be doing that stuff. But Australia tour, bro, absolutely incredible. Probably still the best. To be honest, I've had quite a lot of tours, so it's hard. But it's definitely up there with one of the best, let's put it that way. You know, Lions tour, pinnacle of my career in rugby, being called up, literally the morning of that second test match, by the way. You know, we was hours away from leaving. I was in my room. I was sharing with Mike Brown, MNB, my dude. I can't really say, you know, what it really stands for, but yeah, MNB, Mike Brown. And you'll have to ask him one day. You know, we were just chilling, had a knock at the door from Stuart Lancaster. I went to the people. I was just like, oh, like, this Lanny, bro. He's like, oh, what's he want? I was just like, I don't know. Open the door. He's like, what's up, Lanny? How's it going, mate? He's like, yeah. He's like, you're right. Can I come in? I was just like, yeah, all right. And then, you know, because he never comes to our doors. You know, Lanny's one of those coaches who never really mingled with the players, you know, and it looked comfortable. You know, he's always kind of, you know, weird and not weird, but it just didn't look right when he was mingling with the guys. Anyways, long story short, he tells me about the Lions tour. I'm like, oh, shit. He's like, you know, leave your bags here. You know, just take some toiletries and stuff. The car's picking you up in an hour. So I was like, that's absolutely crazy, mate. Literally hours away from leaving to go and play in my second test. And I'm flying to Lions tour. And as soon as I land, they're telling me I've got, you know, I'm playing the game and stuff. So it was pretty nuts. But the tour was sick, bro. We had myself, Simon Zebo, trying to remember all the lads now. We had quite a bit of a crew, which we used to call ourselves the Midweek Warriors. You know, killing the midweek games, you know, then going out. You know, every time we went out, we'd have to take security with us just for safety reasons. But mate, it was sick, man. I can't really share too many stories, but we definitely had a good time.
Are you looking forward to playing with Zeebs next season?
Yeah, it's going to be sick, mate. Like me, Zeebs. Nah, it would be sick to play with Zeebo again, to be honest. I just came back from Ireland and we didn't get to catch up, but he's just recently been married and stuff. But we do talk about hopefully trying to play together one day, because, he's an excellent guy.
He's been on the pod.
We roomed together pretty much.
He's got some seriously good chat. He's been on.
He's a very naughty boy. We've had all the names.
Yeah. And also, we've had all the names and George Snooze.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
George Cruz was a special one for us because it was a late time. It's a late time listen. We suggest our listeners listen to George about 10 o'clock at night when they're trying to get to sleep. And it will really help them get off.
Yeah, it was the perfect antidote to insomnia.
That and listening to Owen Farrell's interviews after matches.
Yeah.
Or what we're trying to do is we're trying to release a sleeping app, but with George Ford and Owen Farrell, what we want to do is just to get them on the table having a coffee, and then we want to record that then release it on an app. And we think that we can stop insomnia.
Well, Archie, what do you think Owen would say to Wade if he saw him now?
Wade, get back in shape. You play hard. Run fast. You get in the team. I bloody love rugby. Hate social media. And just love rugby, hitting hard. And Eddie Jones is a great guy.
Well, Wade, you've been
amazing. That's hilarious, bro.
Wade, you've been amazing.
That's hilarious.
We'll get you in.
Sorry,
the
interruption.
We'll get you in the. We'll send you the investment pack for the sleeping app.
Wade, just to finish on these last two, but obviously you said you got to travel on some incredible tours around the world. Sharing with Mike Brown, an absolute legend. But who was the worst roommate you ever shared with? Like, who was the weirdest person you ever shared with?
Weirdest? There's a lot of weird dudes, man. But one that kind of was different, I won't say it was weird or whatever, was different to, all the roomies I have, was Mikey Hayward. And that was, that was a different experience because he was, go to bed quite early. He didn't really talk too much. It was just, he would come in the room and leave. It was a bit of an awkward one, you know what I mean? But like I said, I'm a mixer, so I made it work.
Yeah.
But that was probably the strangest roomie I've had, yeah.
Freddie, write down Mike Hayward. He's someone else we should approach for the sleeping app as well.
Wadey, Curly Bill, George Smith, Cipriani, Vili LaRue. Just how dangerous were the five of you? Archie would like to think you would be included in a six in that.
Certainly would.
How dangerous were you five on a night out?
Ooh, on a night out, very dangerous, very dangerous. Not just on the field, but off the field, I would say. All very charming, very handsome, smart, got lots of money and, dress well. That's really how I would, five dudes, five great attributes.
Five guys with three C's. That's what you should call yourself. Could be a book, a children's book. The five guys with three C's. Write that down.
I love it.
I could make that into a book. That would be a big hit. Just five guys with their chassis out, spraying the coin, delivering the chat.
Apparently, George Smith was borderline an alcoholic. Was the biggest drinker in rugby. Was he the heaviest drinker you ever witnessed in the game?
Yeah, he's definitely up there. George is one of those guys who works hard, play hard, like literally on the field will absolutely kill himself, whether it's fitness, in the weight room, rugby sessions. And then when it was time to, enjoy yourselves on a night out, he would absolutely go for it as well. So, he's definitely up there, And it's one of them ones where he would go for it and literally be like, you'd think that, this guy is not going to last the night, and he would just keep pounding and pounding him, just somehow making it through the whole night, man.
I'd love to meet him. He'd go well in infernos. He'd enjoy a bum funnel, I tell you.
Could you just give us an exclusive, Wadey, because you've been so brilliant. If you were going to join a city or a region or a country, where are you leaning to now rugby-wise? Just so we can get a bit of an exclusive here, Wadey.
Or are you joining Ben Foden in the real estate world in New York?
Hey, Fodes. I mean, we're both in New York. That's quite an achievement. But in terms of me, I'll give you the regions. France, Premiership, and America.
Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have...
Elliot Daly.
Chat.
Nathan Hughes.
No chat.
Jimmy Gopper.
Chat.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Chat.
Jamie Roberts.
Chat.
Mike Brown.
No chat.
Jonathan Joseph.
No chat.
Ashley Johnson.
Chat.
Joe Simpson.
No chat.
Alex Cuthbert.
Chat.
And finally, Danny Cipriani.
No chat, mate.
Christian Wade, you've been absolutely
Wadey,
incredible.
We can't so
wait to see
time.
You in the Prem next year playing for Wasp again, hopefully.
Appreciate it, guys.
What an absolute hero.
That guy is stellar.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolute.
He's everything you've always wanted to be, a professional sportsman who's been able to date a girl from a reality TV show.
Yeah, I mean, he is A-grade.
Yeah, A-grade rugby.
I'm tempted to put him into my CRM system and just make sure that I'm keeping in contact with him on a monthly basis, because I think me and him could do some serious business together.
Chassis and Chicas, welcome to my question time. You're welcome.
Welcome to my question time. Baby girl, I'm feeling fine, but time for question comes alive. I need to help you fucking thrive. Need to help you grow and find. Triple A, you know what time. Something here to heal your mind. Archie Gerson's question time.
Archie, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, it's question time.
Yeah, it's Archie's question time. To be a trumpet. Yeah, you heard on the theme tune. It's Archie's question time. It's your favourite bit of the week.
Yeah, yeah. That was meant to be a trumpet in my mouth.
Yeah, it was good.
I never did music at school.
No, I can tell.
That's for losers.
Okay. Well, yeah, I can see that. But
Archie, you did music, right?
I did music, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have bullied you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a nice way to bring in your question time.
No, I'm just saying, Clodis. Like, obviously, we're good friends now, but if we're at school, I'm taking you down.
Right, okay.
Anyone in the arts, anyone that did science, anyone that did music, anyone that did maths, anyone that did like geography, anyone that did Latin,
wow,
any of those people.
So basically everything.
They were getting it.
Apart from rugby.
No, but if you're good at sport, you could be good at maths and music, and I might be like, right, I'm going for you. But then you turn up and you're like, uh-oh, he's in the first 15 rugby. I'm like, oh, I let him in, boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, anyway, let's get on with it.
Just before we start, I do have a small request before we do start.
Go on,
I know last week we had the hacker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. But I just want to celebrate. Obviously, friend of the podcast, James Haskell, just had a baby. I just wonder if we could play one of James Haskell's, like, just 10 seconds of one of his beats, because it's some of my favourite content, him DJing on Instagram. So I don't know whether we can just put that in now before we start.
What, a little Haskell's music?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, that makes me just want to get up and dance.
Yeah.
God, that's good music.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Really good. Anyway,
see, he's the exception because he is into music,
yeah.
but he plays rugby, so he's I let him into the club.
Well, last week we were lucky enough to have an American question all the way from Boston.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And
amazing.
I think today we actually got some more foreigners. I think this one's from a Kiwi, so let's hear what he's got to say.
Oh my God, all the way from New Zealand.
G'day, fellas. I hope this finds you well. It's the Stingray here, mate. Congrats on 96 episodes. Freddie, your back must be getting a bit sore carrying Archie this far. I just had a quick question for Archie, mate. I'm the newly named captain of the Parsons Green White Horses over here in Fulham, and I was just wondering what sort of things you say to your team before a game. You must have a fine margin between stern talk and chat. I'm just wondering what you say, and if you got any tips for me on how to fire up the lads. Love and champagne.
Unbelievable. So it's actually not from New Zealand. It's just a New Zealander living in London.
Putney.
Typical.
Yeah, essentially in Putney. Yeah.
But great question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to answer this in a short manner because there are so many different methods I've used over the years. It is a mixture. You know, I'm looking at those boys in the eyes. I'm pumping them up. I'm saying, boys, get out there, hit them hard, run fast, and let's get into them from the whistle. But I'm also saying, as I always do, look good, play good. If someone's looking a bit scruffy, I'll be telling them, get back in the bathroom, get that Dax wax out, put it through your hair before you're going out. You look a state.
Right.
As you know, I'm quite philosophical.
You like philosophy, yeah.
And I do so say some quite philosophical things before we go out. You know, things like, a glass is only full of water when the spring is free.
Which means what?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You when you're in the room, you'll know.
You'll understand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so lots of advice from there.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so just a mixture. Just mix it up. You don't want to be one-dimensional.
And then finally, I think this man is from Wales.
My question is, should a rugby teammate of yours at Clapham Falcons have a red card incident, what would your punishment for them be? Either A, have them stripped naked and shaved head to toe, lid and all. B, consume a pint of Guinness with a human feces at the bottom. Or C, have them drink a pint of vodka with human piss in it. Love and champagne.
Well,
I really do enjoy getting a question from someone while they're having a shit.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant time to actually send in a question because you've probably got nothing else better to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the echo effect.
Yeah, yeah. Echo brilliant.
None of his options.
None of the above, right.
If someone gets a red card for Clapham Falcons,
what do they get?
They have to take on the Griffin.
The Griffin?
Yeah.
Was it a pub?
Griffin is a very old broomstick we've had at the club since I've been there. And we attempt to put that up their bottom.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think while I've been there, I think 17 people have taken on the Griffin.
Have you taken it?
No one survived. No, I've never got a red card.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to the 96th episode, Archie.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Mate, the form is unbelievable. You know, it's one of those things where we're coming off the pitch, Sky Sports want to grab me for an interview. And, you know, Goody's there with the microphone. He's saying, listen, guys, your form is unbelievable this season. You know, how are you maintaining it? And you're kind of embarrassed. And you sort of grab the mic and be like, look, you know, there's always areas to improve. You know, no team's perfect. But actually, deep down, you're like, we don't need to change anything. Absolutely firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, a guy came up to me this week. Stopped me in the street and said, hi, I'm a fan of Pod. Just want to say how good it is. And I just looked him in the eyes and said, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know how good it is. I'm at the coalface of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
If anyone knows how good it is, it's me. I'm
you
delivering
listen to it 4 times a week.
I'm delivering it week in, week out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I listen to the podcast 4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And every time I listen to it, it gets better.
Well, Archie, let's tell our listeners to look out for that 100th episode special. See what...
Yeah, Sunny and Sunny's coming. And we have potentially got something very special podcast-wise coming out next week or the week after. We're just working on a few things,
which
will be very interesting. A bit of a gear change,
yeah,
as
yeah,
you
yeah.
will, but it's a surprise nonetheless. As with everything we put our hand to, it will be bloody good.
It will be good. Well, talking about gear change, it's time for me to put you in drive and get you out of my little studio here.
Yeah, fair enough. I've actually got to get home, but I think
I want to
get my steps in because I've only done 15,000 steps today.
Okay.
And I like to do minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
25 steps.
Well, maybe go walk home.
But then I could, like, sometimes I just walk on the spot.
Right.
So if you want to, Matt, we could, I don't know, we could just chat for a little bit more if you wanted.
What, and just walk on the spot?
Yeah.
No, it's okay, mate.
It's really good fun. You get a real sweat on.
I've got to go out this evening.
Sometimes every other minute, I sort of change it to 30 seconds sprinting on the spot.
Okay.
Which is really fun.
That's really fun. Well, I'm out this evening, so
okay.
I gotta go.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go get my steps in.
All right, mate. See you later.
Love and champagne, mate.
Bye-bye.
Love and champagne.
Wanted me. I wish I knew you wanted me. I wish I knew you wanted me. What you do, what you do. Made a move, could've made a move. If I knew I'd be with you. Is it too late to pursue? I bite my tongue, it's a bad habit. Kinda mad that I didn't take a step at it. Thought you were too good for me, my dear. Never gave me time of day, my dear. It's okay, things happen for reasons that I think are sure, yeah.